This program is made possible by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.
You can't be faithful with money. You won't be faithful with ministry. You can't be faithful with money. You're probably not going to be faithful in marriage. If you can't be faithful in money, it seems like it's attached to everything. And it all starts with, can you be trusted with money? Now hang in here now. I'm a world
changer. This is Changing Your World with Creflo Dollar. Now, from the World Dome in College Park, Georgia, here's Pastor Dollar with today's message.
If you have your Bibles today, I want you to go with me to the book of Luke, chapter 16. And I'm about to uncover a demonic spirit that's been in hiding for centuries. It has been so deceptive, there's no telling how many of you carry it with you. It has been so crafty and so sneaky that its manifestations go unnoticed. It has been such under the radar that the very causes of certain ways that we act and carry ourselves have gone completely unnoticed. And it's hidden behind the norms and values of society. So if society says something's okay, then it must be okay because a bunch of people said it's okay. And this morning I will unleash a truth upon this spirit. And I come against it with everything that God has anointed and prepared me for this very day and hour. It may be that it will activate itself right in the middle of this service. If you do, I'm going to cast you out. No more will I remain silent about the craftiness of this one hidden, subtle, sneaky, crafty demon. Now, I know some of you say, well, I don't believe in demons. Well, when you get home, find a mirror and look in it real good. Next time you go cussing somebody out, get that mirror out, get that pocket. Or you can use your cell phone, just flip that little picture around right quick. And you might catch it real quick before it leaves. I love you, and with all my heart, I will yield myself to the Spirit of the living God this morning so that whatever area of bondage and whatever you've been going through, that today this could be a day of liberty and justice in your life. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's turn to our Bibles in the book of Luke, chapter 16. And verse 10, Luke chapter 16, verse 10. For the sake of those of you who have never heard this before, I want to make sure that I keep this in context. So I want to start at verse 1, because over the years, especially coming to church, we have the habit of taking the text out of the context, and we're only left with the con. So I want to read in context this as you begin to see this and see it very carefully. You ready? All right, verse 1. And he said also unto his disciples, and Jesus is speaking here, there was a certain rich man. So Jesus is talking about a situation that actually happened. There was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. A steward is a manager or someone that oversees the goods and the property of another. This rich man had a steward and had heard that his manager over his property, over his money, over his goods were being mismanaged. And in fact, in verse 2, and he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of your stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer a steward. The guy's getting ready to lose his position because he had heard that the guy's been stealing from him. Verse 3, then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For the Lord taketh away from me the stewardship, and I cannot dig, and to beg I'm ashamed. It wasn't that he couldn't dig. He said, I'm not going to. And he says, to beg, I'm ashamed to do that. Well, he should have thought about that before he stole his master's money. Verse 4, I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So it's like, what am I going to do? What am I going to do for money? Now, the whole subject here is how the steward handled money. The whole story here is how he could not be trusted any longer to oversee and manage money. That's the subject so far. He says, so what am I going to do about this? Verse 5, so he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? So now he's calling these guys, that is, the guy he worked for was doing business with, and they owed, you know, his master, and he says, how much do you owe my master? Now, he's still doing something illegal. And so notice what he said. He goes and he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said, all right, you owe 100, take a bill and sit down quickly and write 50. I'm going to do you a favor. Then he said to another, how much you owe thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. He said unto him, take a bill and write 80. So his plan was, if I can get to them before my master get to them, I can cut a deal, and they can remember, hey, man, you cut a deal for me, so when it gets rough, they might help me out. All over money. And the Lord commended the unjust servant because he had done wisely, for the children of this world are in the generation wiser than the children of light. Now, how do you commend somebody that's stealing from you? He said, at least now you understand that money should be used to set your future instead of taking care of your very present. So you got to have the tennis shoes now. And you can save that money, put it somewhere, and it can be used somewhere in your future. But you got to have the purse now. Okay, leave that alone. Verse 9. And Jesus said, and I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fail, they may receive you into everlasting life. Fail here is translated when you die. He says, if you'll do the right thing with money, then even when you die, you'll meet people that you helped out financially, and they will appreciate what you did for them. So your money not only impacts your present, but it impacts your future and your eternity. Now, here's a part. Verse 10. Now, Jesus now takes what happened, and look at what just happened. We're talking about an unjust steward and how he handled money. Unjust steward and how he dealt with money. And so Jesus comes in, and I guess he's giving us the reason why he shared the parable. And he that is faithful in that which is least, referring to the steward, was the steward faithful with his master's money? Huh? How do you know that? You just read it, right? So he said, if he that is faithful with the least, how many of you know Jesus just called the money the least? He that is faithful in the least, what did he say? He that is faithful in the least is also, he that is faithful in that which is least is also faithful also in the much. And he that is unjust in the least is also is unjust in the much. Now, Jesus just let us in on a principle. If you can be faithful with the least, he says most likely you'll be faithful with the much. He said if you are unjust with the least, then most likely you'll be unjust with the much. Now, we've taken that word least and we're just using it as a principle and forgetting what it was, what was the least that was being discussed in the entire context. The least was money. So let's call it what Jesus called it. Jesus said, if you can be faithful with money, if you can be faithful with money, and he calls money the least. It's the least area of faith, in the least area where you're going to use your faith in the kingdom of God. If you can be faithful with the least area of the kingdom of God, then you can be faithful with the much healing, deliverance, and all the other things you have in life. But he says, if you are unjust with money, then you're going to also be unjust with everything else. In other words, if you hire a guy to work for you, all right, and he can't even be trusted with the money you make at your business, you do not want to make him the vice president of your corporation. Why? He's already proven who he is. You know, somebody says, oh, but Brother Dollar, if I made $20,000 more a year, I would be a giver in church. But I'm not making that much right now. You know what? If you can't give where you are right now, neither will you give if you win the lotto. Because we already know who you are at the least. And that works with everything. But here he says specifically, money. You can't be faithful with money. You won't be faithful with ministry. You can't be faithful with money. You're probably not going to be faithful in marriage. If you can't be faithful in money, it seems like it's attached to everything. And it all starts with, can you be trusted with money? Now, hang in here now. If you don't go nowhere, you're going to... Now, if you're feeling funny right now, if you're feeling some kind of way right now, you've already felt the evidence of this demonic spirit I'm getting ready to show you. I ain't even showed it to you right now. By pure fact that I'm talking about money, this spirit is attached to it. If somewhere in your mind is come up, oh, Lord, I heard about him. He talking about money. I almost will be willing to guarantee you that that spirit I'm about to show you has been lurking around you and trying to get you to get up right now and just leave. It don't want you to hear what I'm about to say, because this spirit needs servants. Listen to me carefully. So if what I'm saying in verse 10, if I see it right in verse 10, is he going to say the same thing in the next verse? Look at the next verse, verse 11. If therefore you have not been faithful, that word faithful means trustworthy or trusted. In other words, if you can't be trusted with money, then you're not going to be trusted with the much. In other words, what he's saying is if your trust can't handle money, then your trust definitely won't be able to handle healing. It takes trust to be healed. It takes trust to be delivered. It takes trust to get all the things that God promised you. But if you can't do nothing with the littlest, if your trust doesn't work with the least, if your trust doesn't work in the area of money, why do you think your trust is going to work in the area of getting healed, getting delivered? That's what he's saying. See, trust is the currency in the kingdom. Money can't buy grace. Money can't buy the favor of God. And money can't buy the blessing. The only way you get the blessing, the only way you get favor, the only way you get anything from God is trust. Trust is the currency in the kingdom. But the only way you're going to prove that you trust is based on what you do with the least money. So he's saying here, if you can trust God in the area of giving and receiving, if you can trust God with the least money, then most likely you'll be able to trust him with the much, healing, deliverance, relationships, because you can trust him with the least. If you can't lift 5 pounds, most likely you're not going to be able to lift 500 pounds. Why? You can't handle it. And he's saying trust that can't be trusted with money is trust that can't trust God with healing. Now watch carefully. If therefore you have not been faithful or trustworthy in the unrighteous mammon, underline that word mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Did you see what Jesus did? Jesus just said, if you can't be trusted with unrighteous mammon. Now, mammon came from an Aramaic word, and in most translations, It means riches. So it'll be translated, if you can't be trusted with riches or money, then who will commit to your trust the true riches? So look what he just said. True riches like healing. True riches like deliverance. True riches like favor. If you can't be trusted with money, who? Here's what he said. Who in their right mind is going to put into your hands something when you couldn't even hold this little thing here? You can't even hold the least. Who's going to put into your hands the much? Are you following what I'm saying? All right, now watch this carefully now. We're almost there. And if you have not been faithful or trustworthy in that which is another man's, who will give you that which is your own? Now watch this carefully. No servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one, love the other, or else he will hold to the one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can serve God or mammon, but you cannot serve God and mammon. Now we see a different use of the word mammon. Because now in this verse it is saying, no servant can serve two masters. One of the masters that you can choose is God. And the Bible says God is a spirit. But the other master you can choose is mammon. But we've never talked about the spirit of mammon. Mammon is a spirit. See, there's a spirit that's going to be on money. Either you choose to allow God's spirit to instruct you with what to do with the money, or you will, by default, allow the spirit of mammon to govern you where money is concerned. Money is neither good nor bad, ladies and gentlemen. Money, if I put this money on the floor, that money is neither good nor bad. That money is not governed by God or the spirit of mammon. It depends on who picks it up. If you are governed by mammon, then when you pick this money up, then mammon will now tell you what to do with it. If you are governed by God, then God will tell you what to do with it. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Listen to what I'm saying. Now, I pick this money up. If I pick this money up and if I have the spirit of mammon on me, this is what I'm going to do. This is what the spirit of mammon tells you to do. But if I pick this up and the spirit of God is on me, this is what mammon tells you to do. And he's coming, he's God. This is what God tells you to do. Let me see that again. Mammon tells you to do this. Mammon tells you to do this. That's 50. Mammon tells you to do that. God tells you to do this. There go 100. You see the difference? Now keep that in mind. So he's saying, what spirit are you going to subject yourself to when it comes to the least? What spirit controls you when it comes to money? What spirit have you yielded to when it comes to money? The spirit of mammon. Now, let me give you a biographical sketch or summary of mammon. Who is this mammon? Well, Christ warns us right here against mammon. He says, you can't serve both of us. You got to choose one. You got to choose me, or you got to choose that spirit of mammon. So who are you going to choose? You can't serve both of us. You have to choose one. If you don't choose me, then by default, you have chosen the spirit of mammon. Mammon was the name of the Syrian god of riches and money. It was also the name of that demon that Milton used. You remember the Paradise Lost? It was also used in that body of work. In the biblical sense, the word mammon is the spirit which rests upon money. All money has a spirit impacting it, either God's spirit or the spirit of mammon. Now, like I said before, mammon wants to produce this attitude. And the attitude that mammon wants to produce is man doesn't need God. The spirit of mammon wants to say you don't need God. You are self-sufficient. The spirit of mammon ultimately tries to do this. You don't need God. Trust in riches. Trust in money. Don't trust in God. Now, you can serve mammon instead of serving God, but it's impossible to serve both at the same time. There is no middle ground.